And pray this morning, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, and your word is life, and your word is goodness to us. Lord, it just guides us in our path. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bless the message today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let it do a good work today. We pray that we'd all have listening ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start, I want to go ahead and start my message today, if I could. Thank you. I want to start this morning by sharing three scriptures with you. These scriptures frame what we're going to be talking about as we continue our disciple series. And last week, we said that as a disciple is a devoted, surrendered worshiper. A devoted, surrendered worshiper. How many were here last week for that message, right? A devoted, surrendered worshiper. And this week, we share yet another characteristic of a disciple, and that is a disciple is committed to growing spiritually. A disciple is committed to growing spiritually. Now, I want to share these scriptures because they really nail down this thought this morning. So I want to begin with some leading scriptures, if I could, this morning. And the first is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see it up here on the screen, is, but grow, everybody say grow. That's right. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. How many have tasted that the Lord is good? Amen. Amen. And so we're to grow up in our faith, grow up, as the scripture says, in our salvation. And the third passage of scripture is in Hebrews chapter 5, and it goes like this. It says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, scripture says, and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, all three of these scriptures demonstrate one thing, and that is that your Heavenly Father's goal is for you to grow and to mature and to develop the character traits of His Son, Jesus Christ. And sadly, all many Christians do is just grow older. They never grow up. They just grow older. They're stuck in a spiritual infancy. And the reason for this is that they never intended to grow. They never intended to grow. They have few intentions of growing because they've misinterpreted Jesus' promise of the abundant life. You see, for so many, well, first of all, Jesus, when he came, he said this, didn't he? He said, the thief does, he doesn't come but except to steal, to kill and destroy. That's the thief's goal, right? To steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundantly. Now, for many Christians, the abundant life that Jesus gives is perfect health, a comfortable lifestyle, constant happiness, a full realization of every single dream, and instant relief from every problem through faith and prayer. That's their idea of the abundant life. But I don't have to take much time to convince you that that's a fairly self-absorbed perspective of the gospel that treats God as a genie in a bottle, right? And somewhere along the line, the good news of Jesus has come to mean that Jesus exists to serve us in our selfish pursuit and our selfish ambitions. That Jesus is to serve us. But so let me just say this. Last week, we said that worship is not about you and me. Let's just say that again. Worship is not about me. Worship's not about me. It's not about me. It's about giving glory and honor and worship to God. I hope that we did that today, right? The songs that we sung, the heart that we sung them with, the energy that we sung them with, that we gave all glory, all honor, all praise, all worship to God. Amen? And so worship's not about you and me. And this week we need to make this statement: life is not about you. Right? Now, some of you just like your a big bubble just popped. Right? Life is not about you and me. A disciple's life revolves around Jesus. Jesus doesn't revolve around the disciple. You get it? A disciple revolves his life around Jesus. Jesus doesn't revolve his life around the disciple. Now, how many of you know that any type of growth and any type of development in any discipline takes commitment, right? Takes commitment. You want to be a good ball player, you have to have commitment. You want to be a good keyboardist, you have to have commitment. You want to be a good computer software analyst, you have to have commitment. You want to be a good architect, construction person, you have to have commitment, right? Commitment. And spiritual growth takes intentional commitment. If we want to be stronger, if we want to be more mature, if we want to be a more effective disciple and a follower of Jesus, then we must want to grow. And not only that, we've got to make an effort to grow and then persist in making those efforts to grow in our faith and mature as a Christian. And there are a lot of people out there, aren't there, who are afraid to commit to anything. They're just afraid to commit to anything. And the result is they just drift through life. They're just drifting through life and miss really out on much of life, or really miss out on much of what God would intend for their lives. And other people just make half-hearted commitments. And that creates so much frustration, not only in themselves, but in other people, right? Because they start and stop and start and stop, and they're in and they're out, and they're with you and they're not with you. And in short, they're just unreliable because of their half-hearted commitments. Of course, you don't know anybody like that, and you've probably never been like that either in your life. Right? Yeah. So we've got some commitment issues, don't we? We have a whole lot of, we have a whole other group of Christians who commit themselves fully to things that won't last. They've just given their lives to things that won't last at all. They're not really too interested in kingdom works or kingdom activities. It's all about things that won't last. And so God wants you and I to grow up spiritually, doesn't he? And all throughout the New Testament, it's crystal clear what one of God's goals is for his disciples. I just had this brain, of a few good men. You remember that? You know, are we clear? Crystal. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do know what I'm talking about. Are we clear? Crystal clear. All right. It's crystal clear. One of God's goals for his disciples, his ultimate goal for our lives on this earth is not comfort. Not comfort. It's character development. It's character development, not comfort. Character development. God is more interested in your character than your career, than your job. Because you're going to take your character with you into heaven, not your career, not your job, and not your money, or your boat, or your car, or your motorcycle, or your house, or your garden. Nothing. You're not going to take that. And so, character development is on the heart of God. He wants that for you and me as a Christian. And when we hear statements like this, and when we hear talk about this, it can be kind of overwhelming, can't it? And there's this self-talk that we do, how can I ever even have a portion of the character of Jesus in my life? I mean, that just seems like a totally unrealistic, unattainable goal on God's part. How can he expect me to have the character of Jesus? And so we get really overwhelmed when we hear talk about this, and it's natural to think in these ways. It's easy to think in these ways, isn't it? How in the world can I have more of the character of Jesus in my life? Anybody feel that way? How do I pull this off? Anybody, or is it just me? Okay. But we must remember that we have been given a powerful gift, the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power who produces Jesus-like character in you and me. You know, Philippians chapter 2 says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, not only in my presence, but more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." All right, we always focus on that part. But it goes on to say, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So who's working? God is working in our lives. We cannot reproduce the character of Jesus in our own strength. Willpower can't do it. Good intentions surely can't do it, because we have all kinds of good intentions. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make the changes that God wants to make in your life and my life. The Bible says that God is working in us and enabling us to obey him and acting and reacting and speaking in ways that mirror our Savior Jesus. I don't know about you, that's good news. That's good news. I like what Rick Warren says. He says, the character of Jesus is produced by inhabitation, not by imitation. Now think about that for just a moment. Inhabitation is the Spirit of God inhabiting our lives that brings about the character of Jesus within us. So how does this happen? Well, as we live our daily lives, we make choices to do to do right things in situations that we find ourselves in, and then we trust that God's Spirit will give us the power and the love and the faith and the wisdom to do the thing that we've chosen to do that's right. And so we cannot discount the important work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. Amen? When we surrender our lives to become a disciple, to become a follower of Jesus, God promises to inhabit our lives by his Holy Spirit. And so if you're a believer here today, if you're a Christian today, if you're one that would call yourself a disciple, you are inhabited by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. And if we're serious about growing and becoming a mature disciple, then we've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. True? But here's the deal. The car won't go unless you press down on the pedal. The car won't go unless you press down on the pedal. It's the same in the spiritual realms. The Holy Spirit releases power the moment you take a step of faith to do a Jesus thing, a Jesus act, or speak words that Jesus might speak to someone. All right? Think of Peter. Stepping out on the boat and walking on water. You know, Peter, you know, Jesus, we always say Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. A few steps, but he walked, right? But he was given power after he climbed out of the boat. He didn't need any, Peter didn't need any power as long as he was in the boat. As long as he was in the boat, he didn't need the power of God. Right? And so here's the key. Obedience unlocks God's power. Obedience unlocks God's power. We move ahead in our weakness, but in obedience, we do the right thing in spite of our fears, in spite of our feelings, and the Holy Spirit comes and empowers our lives to do those things that He's called us to do. Amen? So our character changes, and we begin to mirror Jesus' character when we step out in faith and cooperate with the power of the Holy Spirit. We step out in faith and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to press this idea some more just because I can. You guys, I think you're asleep today. The Bible compares spiritual growth to a seed or a building or a child growing up. First of all, each metaphor requires active participation, right? You have to plant the seed in order for there to be growth. Buildings just don't go up by themselves. And a child has to eat in order to grow. All those things are true, right? Now, I was talking to Mark Moore this past week about the construction of the new Burger King. Woo, Burger King. That's the talk of Logan's Fort, right? The Burger King. And we were just talking a little bit, and first of all, the speed at which the structure is going up is just fascinating. And I go past that twice a day during the week. And from morning to evening, the whole thing is completely changed. But I want you to think about this for a moment. On that lot, when they began, you had mounds of rock, stacks of lumber, and several kinds of dirt movers and cranes on that big lot. You seen it? Everybody seen it? Okay. Just want to make sure. Yeah. And I was thinking about that, but if you didn't have the team of workers actively doing something, there would be no Burger King. There would be no Burger King. No Burger King would get built, right? Can I tell you something? 8 different times the Bible tells you and me to make every effort. 8 times. Make every effort in our growth toward becoming like Jesus in character. The thing is, we just don't sit around and wait for growth and maturity to happen. We have to get actively involved in that. In fact, let me share this. Ephesians chapter 4, you might remember this passage. It's a passage where it says that God gave some to be apostles, and he gave some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. So the body of Christ would be built up until everyone reached this unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so God is so interested in every Christian maturing in their faith and becoming like Jesus in character that he enlists other leaders to ensure that this takes place. He's so dedicated and devoted to this goal of maturity in your life that he says, I've got to do something about this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to enlist leaders, empower leaders, and we're going to have those leaders train and lead others into works of service, lead them into a place of growth and maturity in their Christian life. And for some strange reason, God tagged me and said, you're one of those people, all right? I've never quite understood that, all right? And you ask any pastor, and they'll tell you the same thing. Why'd you pick me? But here we are, right? Yeah. And so later in Ephesians, though, he says this. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted with its deceitful desires. You are taught to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and you are taught to put on the new self, which is created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Here, God, through His Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gives us the responsibilities of a growing disciple. What are the responsibilities of a growing disciple? One, we must choose to let go of old ways of acting. You got to let them go, right? The scripture says, put off our old selves. It's not like they're that impressive anyway, right? So we need to put them off. And then the second responsibility of a disciple is we must change the way we think. We are to let God shape new attitudes in our minds. How many of you have said to yourself at one point or other, man, I really need a new attitude? Particularly with that person at work who just grates me. I see nodding. I see nodding. Yeah. And so we're to let God shape these new attitudes in our minds, and we need to let God direct our thoughts, and that's a responsibility that we have. And so we need a new attitude. Patti LaBelle, I need a new attitude. So we must, and the third responsibility is this: we've got to put on the character of Jesus by developing new godly habits. And the new self is that we're to put on is not just an improved version of ourselves. The new self is actually making a habit of saying and doing things that Jesus would say and do. It's developing new habits of saying what Jesus would say and doing what Jesus would do in our lives on a daily basis. And so all of this is the simultaneous action of you and God, me and God, working together to bring about growth. Now, it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, that we need God's Word, the Bible, to change our lives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. God's Word is unlike any other word. It has transformative properties, the Word of God. It transforms our lives. One writer said this about God's Word. God's Word generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, brings things into being, and guarantees our future forever. That's what the power of the Word of God can do in the life of a disciple. And so there's this exposure of our motives and our thoughts and our attitudes. God points out our faults. That's just part of it. He comes down, rebukes our sin. He expects us to change. But he also lays out this path of freedom, right, in life for us. He says, if you walk in these ways, you'll find freedom in life and peace and hope. And so as a disciple of Jesus, we grow by consuming and applying the Word of God. And we're to fill our minds so that the Holy Spirit can transform us with the truth of God's Word. Now, I want to just drive the spike down a little deeper by saying that daily Bible reading keeps you and me in the range of God's voice. It keeps us in the range of God's voice. And so there's this habit that we need to get involved in reading it. But again, you can read as much of the Bible as you want and still never change and never grow if you don't put the things that you read into practice into your life. James talks about this. James said, don't just listen to God's Word. You know this one? You must do what it says. Don't be a hearer only, you know, but be a doer. Otherwise, James said, you're only fooling yourselves. We fool ourselves a lot. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror and you see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Now, that sounds funny, but think about it. If you don't put into practice, let's just say getting in front of the mirror is reading the scriptures. It's reading the Word of God. And you do that every morning, and you read the scriptures, and you get in front of it. It's right in front of your face, and you read it. And you're reminded, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. And then you lay it down, and you don't put any of it into practice, and you walk away. Oh yeah, what am I? I forgot what I am. Yeah, I'm just going about my life. I'm just doing my thing. Oh yeah, I forgot I'm a Christian. I forgot what I'm supposed to be. I forgot who I am. I forgot what I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to be in the workplace. I forgot how I'm supposed to treat my spouse. I forgot, you know, I'm supposed to come to church. Oh my gosh, I forgot all of that. Right? And we forget that we're even a Christian. When you don't apply, you forget. Right? And so there's this application of the scriptures. And so a disciple's committed to not just listening to God's word, but putting it into practice in their lives. Now, I'm not saying any of this is easy, right? But it's good, and it's profitable, and it's beneficial to our lives. And it's what we have to work at. It's what we have to want to do to grow in our lives. But not only does God use his word to grow and mature you and me, God also uses people. And he uses the circumstances of our lives. How many have had people help you, encourage you, build your faith up, strengthen you? How many of you have people who have influenced your life and you could say, they've made me a better Christian? Huh? Anybody? Yeah. I'm a better Christian because I spent time with them, and they encouraged me, and they guided me, and they listened to me, and we walked through some things together. God places us in a family where we can receive the support we need to grow spiritually. That's called the church, folks. That's called the church. And I think it's important to remind ourselves that we can't grow in isolation. We need to be around other growing Christians and interact with them. And the thought is always on the part of some, why? Why can't I just come? Why can't I just sit by myself quietly, slip out quickly, and go about doing my life? Not interact with anybody, not get to know anybody, just do my thing. I'll come to church, I'll just slip out, and I'm not interested in getting to know anybody. Why can't I do that? Well, you want to know?
Yeah.
Because true spiritual maturity is all about learning to love like Jesus. And you can't practice being like Jesus without being in relationship with other disciples. I mean, love doesn't happen in a vacuum. Love happens in the context of relationships. Learning love happens in the context, right, of a family, of this organism that we call the family, or the marriage, or the family, or in this case, the church, right? This context of relationships. And that's why we offer small groups. That's why we offer Freedom for Life. That's why we offer men's breakfast and mug and muffins and all those kinds of things. Because we can't really love that well on our own, living life on our own. We need each other. We need each other. And so we need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us grow. We need to make an effort. We need other people to help us grow. And the last thing is that our life experiences provide this hotbed environment where we can practice the way Jesus thinks and the way that Jesus acts and the way that he responds. Do you know that life, and we're almost finished here, life is a continuous set of circumstances, basically. I mean, that's what life is. It's just a string of circumstances. It's this one long, continuous string of circumstances, isn't it? I mean, we're never not in a circumstance of some kind. And we're just simply moving from one circumstance to the next every single day of our lives. Now, some of those circumstances are big, and we've got to acknowledge that they're big, they're difficult, they're challenging, they're grieving, they're hard, they hurt, they're tough. Some of the circumstances, maybe most of the circumstances of our lives are smaller. They're small. But all of them are significant, aren't they? And all of them can produce spiritual growth in our lives. Now, some of us live an oh man life. Oh man. I see a lot of us, I'm serious. We live this oh man. We walk through our days, right? And some circumstance comes up, and we throw our hands up. We say, oh, man, right? And then we go throughout the day, and it's like, then something else comes up. Oh, man, right? And then we get to lunchtime, right? And we're completely worn out. It's like, oh, man, right? And then we move on in the afternoon. Oh, man, something else comes up. Oh, man, oh, man. Some people live their whole lives that way. You think it's funny? At the end of the day, all they've done is throw their arms up and they haven't learned anything. Hello? Because their only response that they know when a circumstance comes up is, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, my life just sucks. This is horrible. This is terrible. Oh, jeez. This is awful. Why me? Why me? Why this? Why now? Why them? It's a wonder their arms aren't sore. You know, that would be a great new exercise plan. You could do a little video, right? A little series, right? It's only one exercise in this video exercise plan. Just do this all day long. Here's what I suggest. Now that we've laughed, if we're going to throw our arms up when we run up against something challenging or even some minor irritation, which most of them are, why not throw them up to God and say, God, what do you want me to learn? If we're going to do this anyway, it's on Facebook. That's on Facebook, isn't it? All right. Are you following me? Because I don't want the humor of it to miss the depth of the point that I'm making. If something's, we're always bumping up against something or someone. Lift your arms up to God. Say, God, what do you want me to learn right now? What do you want me to do in this situation? What is Jesus' way of dealing with this problem? Not my way. What is Jesus' way of dealing with this problem or this conflict I have in my life right now? What do you want to change in me, God? What reaction do you want me to stop repeating? God, help me to display the character of Jesus in this circumstance instead of stomping up and down and whining like an immature baby. What do you want me to learn, God? What do you want me to learn? Circumstances could be by far the best way, one of the best ways that we can mature and grow if we ask the right questions and raise up our hands with the right intentions. What is a disciple? A disciple is personally committed to growing spiritually. They make a purposeful effort to mirror the character of Jesus in their lives. They cooperate with the Holy Spirit. They allow God's word to produce change in their lives. They find and they give support to the other disciples within the church. And they see as a training ground for spiritual growth and maturity their entire life. Their entire life is a training ground for growth and maturity in the name of the Father, for the sake of the kingdom. That's a disciple. That is a disciple. Let's pray. God, we want to be that kind of a disciple. We want to be committed 100% to the goal of maturing and growing in our faith. We don't want to be in "oh no" Christian. We want to be an "oh God" Christian. Oh God, teach me. Show me. Help me, change me. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to make that commitment to grow and to make that effort and to cooperate with your Holy Spirit. Lord, just I pray that you would just drill this message down into our lives. Help us, Lord, with it in Jesus' name. Let's invite everybody to stand. Disciple is committed to growing spiritually. I want that statement just to go with you today, that you would remember it. We've had a lot of fun. We've had some good laughs, but there's some very, very important things for all of us to remember throughout the week. And so I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit would just massage the things that you've heard today and just knead them into your hearts and your souls, and you would feel his presence this week. Be blessed this long weekend, Labor Day weekend, and be safe. God blessings to you. If you need some prayer, just come up after we dismiss, and we'll pray with you. Amen? All right. Be blessed.